This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get to Mark right now. He's calling from Delaware. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, I just want to say that was a great 12 hours of radio yesterday. I always like when your station does it. Nice to hear you guys do the crossover shows and interact with everybody. So
that was fun. Cool. Thank you, man. And let me just say thank you to McGurk's and thank you to everyone who listened. And then obviously, of course, thank you to everyone who came out. We met a lot of WIP listeners that were there, and I just want everyone to know we appreciate you. So,
and what an awesome spot.
Very cool spot.
Yeah.
Yeah,
gorgeous.
No question. All right, Mark, what do you make of the Eagles in free agency so far?
Well, I wanted to make 2 points today. So, number one, I wish I would have got on like 5 minutes ago because I was going to say I'm not real thrilled about free agency, and I was going to talk about what Schefter put out on you know, Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm excited about that, man. I mean, you know, they lost a lot of players, but having 20 draft picks in the next 2 years and 17 in the first five rounds is definitely, you know, positive for them.
Well, it is. Hopefully, I'll just say this. That generally will have... Now, I was going to say... Boy, voice got high there, John.
Hey, now.
That was not good.
What are you doing?
He's the two. I mean...
Yeah, very similar.
Like it happens all the time.
Mark, I was going to say that has more of an impact on 2028 and 2029, which I do think it has more of an impact. But part of Schefter's point.
That's kind of like yodeling, what you just did there.
That's horrible. It's horrible.
But you're a yodeler.
Drafting those guys, it does help you keep some of the more high-priced guys. With that said, the actual playing of those players will probably impact more, you know, 3 and 4 years from now. Because to the point Devin made earlier, what Quinion did and what Cooper DeJean did is very historically rare. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't normally...
You can't assume that every draft pick is going to do that.
Right? Yeah. Don't count on rookies.
I totally agree. Yeah. So, Joe, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Over the last couple of weeks, you keep on being concerned about the Eagles schedule for next year.
Oh, man, it's rough.
You got to get back to yodeling. I really do want to get back to yodeling.
We'll get to it. Go ahead, Mark.
So let me ask you a question. Who's the Eagles' biggest contender in the NFC East?
Well, in the NFC East, it's obviously Washington.
Might be Washington for the conference.
Do you realize that
it is,
Washington and the Eagles basically have the same schedule for next year?
Well, it would be
he's right.
It would be close.
It's really close. I looked it up yesterday. It's negligible is the point.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, one and two in a division is going to be close with two having a perceived advantage. But I got you. Yeah.
And the Lions and the Vikings schedule is not much easier, to be honest with you.
Well, listen, this is part of how teams like the Vikings get created, meaning – who's next year's Vikings team? Who's next year's Washington team that feasts on an easier schedule? And see, here's one of Mark. I'll give you one of
the Bears.
Maybe.
That's a pretty good one. It could be.
Maybe. The quarterback's got to be better than he was.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Maybe.
For
He's
sure.
probably going to be.
Mark, I just, like, obviously I feel good about the Eagles. I'll just say this. Between the schedule and the defensive losses and what I think will likely be more injuries, although they've had a pretty good run the last couple years not having too many, you know, I just think it's going to be harder for the Eagles next year. And it wouldn't shock me if they're not the one seed and have to play multiple playoff games on the road.
They weren't the one seed this year.
I understand. That's why I said multiple playoff games on the road.
All right. Hey, take it to the
bank.
Do you
think they're going to lose the division? Because the only way they play multiple on the road is if they are the most likely way. Most likely way.
You can be the three seed and play two games on the road. So, you know,
the NFC is weak, though, man.
We'll see. We'll see. Mark, give me an answer for a family member and a title.
Well, I wish ESP was in to vote for my thing. I'm going to say I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
Yeah, I hate that song.
Really?
Yeah, it's hard.
You hate
it's not
that
fantastic.
Song.
Wait, does
I like it?
Does
horrible.
The, does ESP like that song?
He just loves Christmas music.
Oh, okay.
I don't think there's any reason to hate.
No,
the song.
That one.
It's a good
the,
song.
It's kind of weird.
Little song.
It's a little weird, but it's catchy.
And then the grandma got run over by the reindeer. It's another.
Well, that's awful.
Yeah, yeah.
But I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. It's like a cute little way of saying you've got like a wonderful family unit that loves one another.
All right. So, what do you want to do with yodeling here, John?
It's nice.
John, I think it's nice.
Have you listen to yodeling, like real. Have you ever heard people yodel?
Please don't yodel.
I'm not. I can't.
Okay.
I can't come anywhere close to yodeling.
Good.
Have you heard how
heard
skillful?
It. What is the purpose
real yodelers
of it?
Are
good question, Ben.
What's the purpose of it?
I don't know. But they have.
Like, I don't.
Ben, they have contests. Like they have world champions. Yodeling is big business. I don't
but
know
why.
Anything about it. I don't know why. I have no idea why. But it is massive. And Jimmy, I hope that you are like looking at stuff right now where it's just amazing. You're seeing the yodeling.
I'm not really. I got a 12-year-old yodeling if you want to hear it.
I mean, this is brutal.
I don't think it's brutal.
No.
I think it sounds awful.
It literally serves
I think
no
it sounds
purpose.
Like an animal dying.
It does.
It does.
Right?
It
sounds like an animal is dying.
There is yodeling in the Sound of Music that is good.
Yeah, that part's good.
That part is very good.
This sounds horrible.
Yeah. This reminds me of how the Phillies hit last October.
It's awful. Like, this is one of the worst things I've ever heard.
All right, so hopefully we're done with the yodeling portion.
Just listen to that.
Let's eliminate this from society, please.
Do people bump that? Like,
no.
is someone riding
bump.
Around with the windows down and yodeling
no
coming
chance.
Out?
I would hope not.
No chance.
Maybe sunroof
open.
No. By the way, it's
I might have nightmares about that.
94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake Studio. John, you are a strange bird, man. I know people think I am, but
wow,
you got to
bump the yodel, man.
I brutal.
Pulling up
All
at
right.
the light.
So I want to get to the Phillies thing here. Obviously, the Eagles have been the main topic for all the obvious reasons. Day four of free agency today. But, you know, one of the big things with the Phillies is going to be, are they going to change their approach at the plate? Put it another way, are they going to try to put the ball in play more? Maybe less launch angle stuff, hopefully less strikeouts. I mean, we've talked about maybe they change the lineup. But more important than changing the actual order of the lineup, is the approach to the hitters. And so, we know who we're talking about. We're talking about Trey Turner. Yeah. We're talking about Castellanos. We're talking about, those two
those
primarily.
Those are pretty much the big ones.
But, I mean, Rojas
Brandon
hit
Marsh
the ball.
Too.
That's all.
Like,
Marsh
I would
a little
get
bit.
Nuts with Brandon Marsh at times.
Yeah, a little
so
bit.
So did they abandon the, hey, someone else might lead off thing? Is that now officially kaput?
No, I don't think it's kaput.
Ben, who is going to lead off?
I still think Schwarber's going to lead off.
Well, that's the point. He's leading off in these games now. I don't see. I was thinking maybe Bryson Stott would get a chance to show what he could do.
Not good enough.
Seems like they moved
season.
Right
he
past
could at
that.
Some point.
Yeah, I think the team would be best served if Trey leads off, utilize that speed a little bit more.
But he's got to have the different approach to the plate and be good enough to get on base.
I know, but I do think he will see a lot more fastballs if he's leading off.
But
if you have Harper behind him,
he's
and
a pretty
Bowman
good fastball
Schwarber,
hitter.
He's a very good fastball.
Yeah, he
hitter.
Is.
But
yeah.
doesn't it feel like they've given up on that concept now?
No, I don't think they've given up on it.
Okay, good.
Got to make a decision in about a week and a half. Opening day in 2 weeks. All right, so let's listen. Bryce Harper was on with the afternoon show last week, and he talked about, and you can tell that he's of the mindset, team-wise, they got to make some adjustments. Here's what Bryce said to Spike, Ike, and Jack.
From a team standpoint, we just got to adapt. You know, I think, obviously, we're going to hit the homer. I mean, it's just, I think that's something that we do. We're going to hit the homer. We're going to hit a lot of doubles and score a lot of runs. But we just got to understand that, you know, in big moments, big situations, we can't try to do too much and just got to play our game.
What he said at the very end, just got to play our game. I think that's such a normal way an athlete will end a statement. And so it almost sounds, it's like the opposite of what he was saying. Like, just got to play our game. No, what he's really saying is we got to have a new game, and then we got to play that game. So I'm glad that he's of that mindset. Look, I don't need an adjustment from Bryce Harper. I just think he's incredible. And I think he and Saquon are the two best players in Philly sports. But it's the other guys I need adjustments from. I'm glad, though, he's of that mindset for the team. Dombrowski, let's go to something he said to us last week when we had him on the program, whichever day it was, Thursday, I think. And it was in the 9 o'clock hour. He said something, and Rhea, you know, this didn't sit well with some people when he talked about, you know, the approach to play in the playoffs.
No.
Let's listen to this exchange we had last week with Dave Dombrowski.
I mean, you can talk about plate discipline, and I know that everybody talks that about, and you always try to increase that and be a little bit better. But the reality is, it was interesting last year. We went into it at the time, and in the playoffs, our plate discipline was in the middle of the pack versus playoff clubs.
Didn't look like it to me.
No, but
it I hear you. You're basing that on
statistics. Yes,
it didn't. And obviously, we were living and dying with every pitch.
Sure,
as you know.
Yes,
as I'm sure
as
you,
I was too.
You were as well.
But it's interesting at that time. But it just shows how hard it is to score runs.
For a guy who's very smooth with how he presents things publicly, that was an unwise.
He should stop saying it. He said it in the postseason press conference. Yeah. Someone should have gotten to him immediately after and said, "David, stop it."
Even if it's true, no one wants to hear it.
I didn't have as big a problem.
I don't want him to think it.
Oh, well, that's the point. I didn't have a huge problem like a lot of listeners did with the interview. That part I have a problem with.
It was like it was
don't
planned.
Say that, dude. Yeah. Like, I don't care if you were second. I don't care if the numbers said you were the best at it. Like, we watch with our eyes. Yeah. Like, just don't say it.
It was the biggest reason why they lost to the Mets. They had guys flailing. And Ben,
the Diamondbacks, too. The biggest reason,
and the
Diamondbacks.
Suspects.
And Ben, when that series ended, you went nuts on our show the next day.
Yeah, I wasn't very happy.
That's the most mad Ben has been. I think that's the most fired up Ben's been on our show.
I know.
Was it right after that?
But I will say, and this is why it's, I know you can't change the spots on a leopard. I understand that. But what I saw in the games that I've done in spring training, last Saturday, I think they had 10 hits, and we went into the seventh inning. They had 10 hits. They had two extra base hits, a homer by Boehm and a double by Boehm. But they had scored 5 runs on 8 singles.
So you sense they're spraying the ball around.
They're working on it. And all the other hits were up the middle or the opposite way.
Okay.
And I know it's spring training. I know it doesn't mean squat, but it's a good sign.
Look, Schwarber is
a good sign.
Schwarber last year is an example. If an athlete makes a concerted effort to make an adjustment, you can improve and play differently.
Mm-hmm.
He did it last year. Now you got to get the other guys to do it. So, look, we'll see if they do. The good news is for the fruits of the labor to bear out, you know, plus or minus, you have 6 months to work it out. Meaning they're going to make the playoffs whether they swing for the fences or not, I believe. I mean, you know, 90-something percent chance they say the Phillies make the playoffs.
Yeah, if they stay healthy enough, they will.
So they have time to experiment. They have time to work on it. Come October, they've got to be ready. And, John, I'll give you an Eagles analogy. I always thought this was an Andy Reid weakness with the Eagles offense. I felt like when the Eagles would get to the playoffs, they were one-dimensional in some of those years where they weren't effective enough in running the ball, power running the ball.
Well, they were effective. He just stopped.
Well, I guess that's part of it.
The Tampa game.
Part of it.
Brian Mitchell started out, ran it down their throats, Deuce ran it in, and then he threw the ball 50 times.
He threw the ball a lot. Versus the Giants in the 2000 playoff game. My point
his
is,
want to run was lacking.
When you are in the playoffs, because the other team is either good or great, it's important to be able to win multiple ways.
Yes.
And the Phillies were not equipped last year in the playoffs to win by spraying the ball around. They just weren't.
Hmm. And they'll be focused on improving in that
I've
area.
Said this,
I can't believe it caught up to Andy Reid, and he actually did what we hated against us in
amazing.
The Super Bowl our advantage. It's
no
unbelievable.
Doubt. I've said this a gazillion times. The last couple of years, the Phillies are like that great three-point shooting basketball team.
That's a good
if those
analogy.
Threes are going down, hey, man, the world is great.
Yeah.
But if those threes aren't, you have to find other ways to score. And I think the Phillies players realize that this is their window. The window is closing, and they have to make the adjustments necessary because they've lost the way in the fashion they've lost the last couple of years.
I like that analogy a lot. 215-592-9494. At 8:30 today, we'll talk to Joe Banner. Obviously, he ran the Eagles for a long time. His sense of what's going on with the Eagles free agency, the salary cap, and more. Joe to camera and John Ritchie. Look at Ben Davis rocking out to Jimmy. Normally it's Richie, but Ben, you're digging this.
There must be some kind of way out of here. You know what I'm terrible at?
What's that?
Singing.
This is so bad.
I suck in the shower. Like,
it's better than the camera.
It's a low bar.
I know.
True.
Like I wish I could play an instrument and I wish I could sing. Like, I'm terrible.
Well, why
like,
don't you
I sing at
to
mass, and
an
I like I'm listening to myself sing at mass. I'm like, people are probably like, "Shut the hell up, dude! You're terrible."
Ben, I want to learn an instrument too. You want to learn one together?
Yeah. Why don't you?
What instrument?
Why don't you?
I want to learn any instrument. Piano. I want to learn the piano. Let's do that.
Yeah,
I'm
but
in.
Piano's hard because you have to have
a piano.
You get a little keyboard or something and learn on, right?
You can carry it around. You could have like even a small one, like a travel guitar. And you can find chords online. You can, you know, look up the arrangements for your fingers, and you can learn some chords, practice your fingers in those arrangements, practice switching between a few chords. It can really get you started.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, it seems like there's a lot of, I don't know, information out there on how to teach yourself guitar now.
You could bring it
they didn't
you.
Have back in 1987.
Well, sure. Yeah, online and all that.
It's a real resource that you guys can take advantage of if you're serious about learning an instrument.
Yeah.
That's a great instrument.
You know who's really
right in front of you.
You know who's really good is Fransky.
Really?
He's really good on the guitar.
Wow, that's
very
cool.
Good. Yeah.
God, he's multi-talented.
He's excellent.
He is. He is very talented. All right, good morning to everyone. So, Life Advice with the Hammer in about an hour. Get those scenarios in, what you need help with, to Seltzer on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. James will choose one of the scenarios and present it to me coming up in about an hour. Also, I want to play some audio of Saquon Barkley because, you know, today has primarily been about the Eagles free agency in the first 3 days and our reaction to it. But Saquon had a reaction to the Super Bowl that I feel pretty confident is different than the six of us here and our reaction to the Super Bowl and most fans listening, because his reaction to winning the Super Bowl seems to have echoed at least what he publicly expressed, what A.J. Brown publicly expressed.
Really?
So, yeah. So we didn't play this audio earlier in the week because free agency was so far and away the dominant topic, but you may remember Saquon had a press conference on Monday. And here, I mean, clearly he's thrilled to have won the Super Bowl, but maybe less so than you would have expected. Let's put it that way. Here is Saquon Barkley, something he said on Monday.
I'm sure you thought for a long time about what it would be like to win a Super Bowl. Was it what you expected, different than you expected?
Yeah. I mean, depends how you look at it. Like, in the moment, it's cool. But kind of like anything in life, how I've seen it so far in my life, when things happen, you know, you probably, I've envisioned it so many times and seen it so many times that when it happens, it's like, it kind of never really live up to expectation, I guess you can say. But like, I don't mean to say that to take anything away from a Super Bowl. Obviously, the Super Bowl is amazing, but it was super cool. It's more of like the moment you have like with your guys in the locker room after, and then you'll be able to celebrate with your family and friends. That moment's probably a little like the thing that really takes the cake for me. But yeah, I'm not trying to downplay winning Super Bowl at all. But yeah, I don't know. Only thing that I think so far, like in my life, it's like kids. Like when you have your kids.
This is an interesting perspective. I mean, look, I know some athletes and some people in life are driven by the process. Like, you know, the process is what goes into trying to get it done. And then maybe when you actually get it done, it's not as gratifying as you perceived it would be.
Visualized success and you know, focused on that probably rep after rep after rep every off season. And then when you get there and do it, how do you reset that?
And look, maybe that makes him better next year than other high-end athletes when they have to rebound from the high to the next season. Maybe he's just a process guy. I don't know. It's just something that I figured most of us probably experience it differently, to say the least, as fans, to see our team win it. And Saquon basically said something very similar to what A.J. Brown
said. But it
was
in the moment is always the best.
Oh, of course. No, he's saying that. He's not dogging it.
Oh,
he's
That's what I said. It's probably, and then once you're done, like a couple days later, you know, for all of those guys, it's like back to normal. Like
back to working out.
Take the kids to school, take the trash out. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, I remember seeing an interview with Barry Bonds once about that. Like, he was the, you know, most famous best baseball player in the world.
Yeah.
And they said, well, what's it like at home? And he goes, I got a 4-year-old, climbs into bed and goes, it's 6 a.m. You know, he goes, at home, I'm just the guy.
Doesn't care about.
Don't care. So it's, you know, it's those kind of things.
Interesting perspective, though, from Saquon. All right, 215-592-9494. Joe Banner will join us coming up in 5 minutes. Obviously, Joe ran the Eagles for a long time, and it was basically, you know, he and Andy. And, of course, Lurie, you know, the three of them. And there were a lot of very, very successful years. Didn't ultimately win a title with that group, but had a lot of success. I think Joe Banner, in many ways, kind of laid the foundation for what the modern Eagles are, along with Andy Reid. Obviously, he was Howie's boss for a long time and helped Howie rise in the industry. So we'll get his perspective on what's going on with the Eagles and free agency and do some league stuff with Joe coming up in a few minutes. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Mark. He's calling from Chalfont right now. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. How are you?
Great, Mark.
First off, I want to thank everybody for yesterday. I was in Royersford. For listeners that don't get out to these things, you really got to go. It's pretty nice. The hosts talk to you during breaks, and it's just generally a great time.
It was fun, and I appreciate you saying that, Mark. It was great. It was great seeing so many people there, you know, yesterday.
Yeah, and as far as the Eagles free agency, I think we have to remember that Howie plays chess three games at a time. And when you look at free agency, it's a checkers game and you get an immediate reaction. I see with him having three thirds and three fourths next year, maybe parlaying that into a second this year and really, accessing those picks in a way that fills some of the gaps.
Well, clearly. I mean, that's going to be the thing. I think that the one thing that's caught me off guard this offseason so far is I didn't – and look, maybe shame on me. I didn't expect so many gaps. You know, I expected some, but this is – because we knew guys like Slay and Goddard could go. You know, I don't think people really had CJ GJ on the bingo card that he'd be gone. Obviously, Goddard's not gone yet, but it feels like he probably will be. Slay is gone. This is in addition to the Milton Williams and the Josh Sweat stuff. So it just feels like it's been more than I expected.
Yeah, and given that they had the number one defense and seeing so much of it come from the defense, I think that lends an air of panic to it that maybe, you know, I have faith in Howie is what a
well, I do
fail,
too.
So I really do.
But I don't have blind faith in him, just to be, you know. That's the one thing I want to put out there. All right, Mark, give me a big time answer for the concert tickets. A great something great with a family member and a title.
Band of Brothers.
Oh, that could win.
I was waiting for it. That's a potential winning answer.
That's
right
a big one.
Good one.
Yeah, that's really, really good. Band of Brothers is great. Let's talk to John. He's calling from Allentown. Good morning, John.
What's up?
Jeez, guys. Joe.
What a great commercial that was.
It was, yes.
You guys have me all over the place because I'm riled up over the Eagles. Then you got me on the Phillies. And then you got Ben in there. Guys, maybe you can help me out. How do you change something that you've been doing poorly?
Well, you talk to Kyle Schwarber and ask him how did he do it and then learn from that. That's if I'm Cassianis, I'm going to Schwarber and saying, Kyle, tell me how you became more consistent last year. I want to try to replicate that, and then you listen and you learn from others and you try to implement. I mean, is that a reasonable way to go?
100%, 100%. But I think that again, they have to feed off each other and realize. I mean, Schwarber, I think he hit like 80 points higher against lefties last year. 80 points, that's unheard of.
It's a tremendous adjustment.
Tremendous,
yeah.
But I think to a man, they realize that it's the way they're approaching it. It's not getting the job done. And I think they realize they have to make the adjustments.
Yeah.
3 years later, we're realizing this.
I know, but better late than never. So hopefully this is the year.
I'm watching a lot of spring training baseball more than I usually do because I wanted to see changes. And no offense, Ben, I ain't seeing many changes. and now they're back to the same old lineup. And I see the only time I saw Turner leading off, the guy was on his knees.
Well, John, I don't think the lineup was the problem. I think the approach at the plate was the problem. I flat out believe they can win the World Series with Kyle Schwarber leading off. I mean, they got the closest with him leading off. Matter of fact, they got the closest with him playing left field. So, John, I want to get to Joe Banner, who's going to join us momentarily. Give me a family member in a title of something.
Throw my mama from the train.
I can't believe it's been given already.
That's crazy.
Give me one more. Say it again.
Sister Act.
That is a good one. That's a really good one. Sister Act's a great answer. All right, up ahead in 1 minute, we'll talk to the longtime president of the Eagles, Joe Banner, who, of course, ran the Eagles for about a decade and a half. Joe Banner joining us coming up in 1 minute.
You know you want lawn care service that provides better results and is safer for your family and pets. That's why I choose Natural Lawn of America. That's my lawn care company. At Natural Lawn, they believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without the harsh chemicals. They use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green while protecting the safety of your family and pets. And by using organic fertilizers for safer weed and insect controls, they make sure your lawn thrives naturally, season after season. With Natural Lawn, I know that my family's getting a beautiful lawn that we can all love, and I don't have to worry about when Louie, my dog, can be on it, walking on it, when he has to stay off of it. It's just safer for him. Switch to Natural Lawn Safer Services and start enjoying a beautiful, eco-friendly lawn you can be proud of. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program today and get free seeding every year. If you want a greener, healthier lawn plus free seeding, call Natural Lawn at 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. Your lawn deserves the best, so call the best. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
All right, Joe Cameron, John Ritchie on this Thursday morning. Day four of NFL free agency. Obviously, the first 3 days have tilted from an Eagles standpoint with more out than in. Now, that was not a surprise, but maybe the degree to which it's been more out than in, perhaps that has caught you off guard. And I got to tell you, Joe Banner, who ran the Eagles very well for a long time, is a phenomenal follow on Twitter. Very, very interesting series of comments all the time from Joe on Twitter. And it's always great to have him on the program because I really do think in many ways, Joe Banner, along with Andy Reid, created the modern day Eagles. And obviously Howie and others have learned from what Joe and Andy did. And we've seen, you know, some success in recent years, to say the least, as a result. Longtime president of the Eagles, ran them for about 15 years. Joe Banner joins us this morning. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. Appreciate the kind words as well.
Oh, it's our pleasure, and it's well-deserved, and there's no question about it. And, Joe, before we get to the—
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. I mean, let me give you a thanks on this one right out of the gate, Joe, because we can talk all about free agency we want in the modern day. The biggest thing to address here is thanks for bringing John Ritchie to the city of Philadelphia 20 years ago. Because otherwise, there is no Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie show on WIP.
How disappointing was that, Joe? Back in free agency 2003, you sign a fullback who came in from the Raiders, and people are expecting like help offensively, and I didn't really.
He's being self-deprecating. Hey, Joe, he delivered. The injury was unfortunate, but I always tell John, he knows that he was a damn good player.
You know, when people ask me our best move, I always say it's John.
Nice. So good. All right, so I like it, Joe.
Really fun.
All right, let's get down to the business here. So obviously there's been a lot going on. We saw your tweet earlier this week when you refer to the Eagles cap situation as challenging, more challenging than usual. And we knew it would be. I've been surprised how many have been out the door. I knew there'd be some. It's caught me a little off guard. Has it been more extensive of an exodus than you expected? Or is this in line with what you figured it would be, given the challenges and how many great players they had on the team?
Yeah, no, this is about where I expected, but we should be very aware this is not the end. So the ability to keep some of their own guys that we knew were going to be expensive, the cap could contribute to that being harder. But I think one of the things that the Eagles have done really well here in recent years is realize that how long the offseason is. Some of us think, you know, first weekend it's over. And they've made moves every year that have enhanced the team. So I'm not surprised by what's happened. I will be surprised if we were talking 2 months from now, we haven't seen some additions that are either some, you know, veterans that are free that can fill some needs, or whether they're, you know, young guys that are emerging or more aggressive stance in the draft, but I would be very surprised if we don't see some additional moves that help them in a couple of key areas.
Joe, when you watch the Eagles offseason year after year, what do you feel most when you discuss Howie Roseman? Is it pride? I mean, I don't want to take it any further than that. What do you feel when you observe the moves that this team makes and it's Howie doing it?
Yeah, no, listen, I do feel pride. I mean, remember, we weren't just Howie's first, like, NFL job. We were fundamentally his first job in life. So it was a very big projection. And I put him in a position, you know, kind of side by side with me working on things. And he replaced somebody that was actually doing a good job. That's, you know, a compliment to at least what I thought the upside was. But I also think that some of the, you know, reluctance to feel like, you know, you can never admit you're wrong, a lack of fear of making a mistake, the aggressiveness. I mean, so it's not just for me, like the picks and some of the team building philosophies that I think contributed to the earlier success and a big part of the success now. It's, you know, some of the things that just so few people in the NFL, is the fear of failure is just so driving, fear of putting your own job in jeopardy. The fact that, you know, Howie just, he acts as if that doesn't even exist and he's just making decisions that are the best interest in the league. Just by that itself, it's a significant competitive advantage. So, you know, and that's what we tried to do earlier, you know, be fearless, you know, just trust yourself and, you know, other people who you want to be happy and excited, like the fans, if you get it right, they will be, even if they don't like it in the moment. And if you get it wrong, by the way, even if they agreed with you, they're not going to be happy with you. So put it out of your mind and just make the best decisions to win. And I feel happy that I see the ability and willingness to do that.
Wow. Yeah, that's really interesting. And thank you. Was it right for the Eagles to care most about Zach Bond this round of free agency?
Yeah, that's an interesting question because it is a little bit of a change and obviously reflects, you know, Vic's philosophies and his history. If you look at it, linebackers have been much more important to him than have been historically, at least recently historically, the Eagles. You know, I think it's two things. One, what I just mentioned, which is Vic's philosophy and obviously how well Bond played. I think the other thing is, and this is another thing they're doing, you know, much better than anybody in the league. They have anticipated these needs, especially on the defensive line, and they have prepared for them, and they've drafted players that look like they can step in. They may not be equal from day one, but they certainly could be, and then they're going to grow from there. So the linebacker spot, if they didn't re-sign him, they were going to take a step back unless they got something in the draft that contributed very quickly. But, you know, they drafted Hunt in the third round last year, and he looked very good in limited play this year. Ojomo was already playing really, really well. You know, Williams was an excellent contributor, but the money he got is even more than, you know, that, you know, showing up even more than we would have anticipated. So I'm curious myself, and I have no idea, can't tell from their actions, did they really make a philosophical change here? Or was it a reflection of the fact that they do have some young players coming up, even above the young that are already playing, you know, like the Smiths and Carters, who could step right in and actually have the unit not take a step backwards, even if it does probably for a very brief period of time. So I'm curious myself. I think we'll see over time, was it a change of philosophy? Was it just the circumstance of the moment?
How challenging is the cap situation? You tweeted about that. More challenging than we realize. How bad is it?
Yeah, well, first of all, I wouldn't consider it bad because they've been to 3 Super Bowls in 8 years, and part of it
is
so it's hard to call it bad. Now, it does mean, though, that you're seeing right now they have to make some choices that they probably would prefer not to and lose some people that were still in a position that could have helped them. And going forward, it loosens back up, not all the way to where they were. It's mainly driven by the fact that they've taken the approach that they're going to always push forward cap charges, so take the lower charge now and the higher charge later, which dramatically increases your chance of having to take what in the league we would call miscellaneous charges, which is charges left for players no longer in your team.
Mm-hmm.
So as you take the risk of that, there is some price to pay. So, you know, this year the Eagles have almost $50 million in miscellaneous charges. So the league is basically working around, they get off here at $280 million cap. The Eagles really only have $230 million to spend. That's the reason that you're seeing them need to leave. Let some players go that they prefer to keep. But they've benefited from this system. So you can't go, oh, we got all this benefit, and oh, my God, now there's a price to pay. Because I think you have to say, with going to 3 Super Bowls in 8 years, the price is worth it now. It's not like they're going to be in some huge retrenchment here, and they're going to have to go back to stinking or anything like that at all. It's just going to be harder to overcome kind of a more limited cap than they've historically had. Now, part of the reason they did this, which was also very smart, was the cap is going up very dramatically. So the price you pay for mistakes is automatically reduced just by that. So I think for the next couple of years, you're going to continue to have to make some tough decisions, but this is the most challenging year. They'll get the compensatory picks out of this, and then the impact of this will be smaller but not non-existent going forward.
Joe Banner with us here on WIP, helping us all understand this cap stuff and the Eagles offseason. You know, Joe, one of the things that was a hallmark of your tenure and most of Howie's as GM was extending players in a season, during the season, locking them up as they would maybe approach free agency or maybe even a couple years out. And it was very successful, very successful. And I know that we've noticed that they haven't done that in recent years. I've questioned, and not questions is maybe the right word. I've wondered whether it's a Sirianni influence that perhaps the head coach said to the GM, hey, look, I want my guys focused during the year. I don't want five players annoyed at one player that does get an extension in October and the other five players are disappointed and then perhaps don't play as well the next 3 months. But I'm, you know, so who knows? We don't know until we get a chance to ask Howie or Nick. We don't know. Do you think that there's been a philosophical adjustment? Do you sense that? Because, you know, obviously they entered free agency with none of these guys re-signed when they could have been in October. Do you think there's been an adjustment?
So I'm going to say what you just said is no way to know, but I will say it seems so. But there's a rule change that could have also played a role as well. It used to be you had to kind of, you know, get very creative and figure out how to kind of push money you had forward. You know, if you had, let's say, $10 million left in the cap at the end of the year, you used to have to do kind of creative and kind of tricky things, kind of annoying things, frankly, to push that money into the future. Now, all you have to do is say you want to push it into the future. Literally, you write a letter saying we want to push this money into the cap in our future, and it's done. So that provided a motivation from a team perspective to make sure you were using up most of that money so you didn't have to do this other tricky stuff by doing deals in season. So it could be a combination of both. It could be either one. You know, we won't know unless they answer that question very directly, you know, in an interview, which they're not likely to do. But it could be either one of those things or a combination because a rule was changed. It's a number of years ago, but it wasn't something that created a whole lot of immediate adjustment. But it made it much easier to push leftover the cap room forward, which made it slightly less desirable to be doing deals in the season, especially because they do have the effect you just mentioned. There's no doubt that doing those deals, I hope, had some benefits, but there was also some drawbacks to it because you didn't get all of them done, and then you do have some people thinking, why'd they do him instead of me? So those two things are very real.
Joe, when the Saquon news came out, I think it was last week, about the extension, you know, a lot of people started thinking about T.O. and 20 years ago, and I saw on Twitter you referenced that this situation is very different than the T.O. one. Can you just detail, first off, do you think Howie did right by extending Saquon after 1 year, which is unusual? And what were the differences between the Saquon and T.O. situation as you sense it?
So first of all, the simple answer is yes, he did right, mostly by just showing a player in the locker room that, you know, the situation can be, you know, rewarded. But what happened mostly, in my opinion, is it's similar to what the Eagles did a couple of years ago for A.J. Brown. The fact that it was after 1 year versus three was not really that material. And it's exactly the same thing that the 49ers did for McCaffrey last year. Now, what's different is a lot of things. T.O. had a 7-year deal, so you couldn't just add years. It was nothing he was interested in, and frankly, we'd have been more than happy to do it, but it didn't make any sense, really, to do it. And really what they did here was, in Barkley's situation, is they took a very small percentage of the new money and the added years, and they put it up front. So it's really, in terms of the cash flow of the deal and what he's likely to earn, a very, very small, much smaller change than it may look or have felt like or frankly got portrayed as. So T.O. was looking for a significant, very significant adjustment. In fact, his first choice would have been just to rip up the contract and start from scratch. And the other thing that was different was, you know, the way that deal was structured was funny. You may remember he actually had agreed to a trade to the Ravens.
That's right.
For a second-round pick. And we actually came up with some, you know, he had regret about that because he didn't think there was a team interested in that had a quarterback he was excited to play with. At that point, they didn't realize we were interested. So once they realized we were interested, we actually came up with an idea that he could use to try to get out of the Ravens trade, which he successfully filed a grievance. They actually created a settlement without the case being heard. So as a result of that, that deal was structured in an unusual way. There was a large amount of money in year one and a much smaller amount of money in year two, but the right amount of money to make him one of the top paid couple of wide receivers in football over the first 2 years. So it was kind of like he was forgetting that year one was purposely very inflated and year two was purposely somewhat deflated. So he was literally looking for a totally new contract. So the idea of adding years to already what was a seven-year contract and moving a small percentage of that into the remaining 2 years in Barclay's case was nothing even close to anything that he was looking for or asking for or indicated he was willing to take. You know, the other thing to remember on the T.O. thing, which, again, is very different than Barclay, he obviously left us and then signed a deal with Dallas. The deal he signed with Dallas was for almost literally the couple of bucks difference, but essentially the same exact amount of money we owed him over the next 3 years in the contract.
Wow.
In fact, if you factor in the amount of money that he then, you know, lost to the suspension, he would have made more money just staying with us for 3 years. So if it was honestly about the money, he didn't do any better than if he just stayed with us, which for me was comforting because it said, okay, you paid him fair to the market because he got a second chance to go to the market and basically got the same amount of money.
Wow.
I'm rounding up when I say this.
That is fascinating. With an eye to the rest of the NFC East, watching what's going on with free agency and whatnot, speaking of the Dallas Cowboys, what the hell are they doing?
That's a great way to ask it.
They have a very different philosophy about how to manage their cap, and they haven't spent the money that they've spent anywhere near as wisely as, for example, you know, the Eagles have. You know, and I think they're in trouble. I think people are misreading it, too. You know, watching the Eagles, hopefully more of the league is convinced that not just having good lines, but dominant lines put you in a position to have sustained really significant success. The Cowboys do not act like they believe any of that. And I think that limits. And they can have good regular seasons, maybe make a mini run occasionally in the playoffs, but I think as long as they employ that philosophy, I mean, they're going to end up paying Parsons, Lamb, and Dak three contracts we all knew they were going to do. It's just a question of when for how much.
Yeah.
You know, in hindsight, we could say if they'd done those deals 1 year earlier, they would have $15 to $20 million more available in cap space for the next 5 years. So it could be $100 million over the next 5 years than if they waited as they did to do those deals. Hmm. So, you know, a lot of people wait to do the deals because they think that they have this fear of the player getting hurt and then they'll have made a mistake if they go early. The truth is that used to be true, but for a number of years now, players that get hurt are getting paid just what you would have expected in free agency as if they hadn't gotten hurt. So the benefit of waiting, if there was any, which obviously we never thought there really was, which we didn't do, but other teams did, and some smart people like Bill Polian always used to wait to do contracts. So some smart people believed in that. But whatever the benefit was, it no longer exists. So waiting to do these contracts is just a lack of objectivity or something that is not good. But
unbelievable.
Good for us.
Yeah.
But not good for Cowboys.
You're not kidding. Joe Banner here on WIP. Joe, what's your guess of what happens with Goddard and Becton? Are they back or not?
Goddard and who was the other one?
And Mekhi Becton, the guard.
Yeah, no, Becton, no, and Goddard, yes, would be my guess. And there again, I mean, I think they just traded for a guard. I think Steen could at least be solid in there. So I think that they're okay with that. I mean, I don't think it's equal. I think it is a little bit of a step back, but I think it's little, and the rest of the line is strong enough it doesn't concern me.
Joe, on the Goddard thing, so, you know, we've heard reports that the strategy for the Eagles is to try to get Goddard's number down, his total compensation down, essentially to have him take a pay cut. How uncomfortable, I'll use that word, how uncomfortable is it and how messy and tricky can it get when you approach one of your own and say, love you, big guy, but need you to take less or we're going to cut you? I know, you know, you were in those conversations. What is that dynamic like?
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to avoid that moment, and fortunately they mostly do. So they get in the situation less than probably any team in the league. But it's terrible for every, you know, especially you're coming off a Super Bowl when you want to thank everybody, you don't want to be punishing anybody. And, you know, players, they're no different than you or me. I mean, we all probably think we're a little bit better than we actually are. So they're not going to be thinking they deserve this, so to speak. In this instance, I honestly think that he could risk saying no and still get paid well from free agency, but he could also end up having the Eagles just say, okay, we wanted to take a shot, but you know, we're just going to stick with the deal if you're not okay with that. I'd be surprised if they were willing to lose him over that, but they could.
Yeah, they could. You know, most of the stuff, I guess Joe goes through the agent, but is there a point when you talk to the player and say, I want to level with you and tell you why we're approaching it the way we do? How much goes to the player? How much goes to the agent in those negotiations?
Well, you'd always rather talk to the player, at least have the player hearing you directly, because you're always worried about how what you're saying is being portrayed. And, you know, if the agent does not think you should be taking a deal, he's likely to portray it in the most negative possible light, and, you know, vice versa. So, you know, you'd always, may surprise the player to hear, but you'd always like them to hear your argument directly as opposed to worrying about how it was being, you know, reframed or rephrased.
Sure, that makes sense.
But
it does.
First of all, you legally can't do that without permission, and very few agents would give you permission to do that, and most players don't even really want to hear it. They'd rather, they're comfortable just letting their agent do it and then convey.
Makes sense.
What was said to them.
Yep. Well, Joe, let me thank you for you know, lending your tremendous expertise to our program today, and I'll just say, you know, what I've always thought, which is that you were a phenomenal credit to the Eagles organization and helped in many ways build the modern day, you know, approach. So thank you for that, and thanks for being a big part of today's show, Joe.
Well, happy to be on, and I appreciate the kind words.
You guys, and by the way, good job cutting Richie in 05. He was done. He was cooked. All right, Joe. Go ahead.
Well, we went backwards in 05. Obviously, it was him. So
there you go.
Thank you.
That is true. A compliment to Richie on the way out. Thanks, Joe. Stay well. We'll talk.
Just kidding. Take it easy.
All right, there he is, Joe Banner. He's got a joke on the way in and a joke on the way out. I like it a lot. All right, Twitter poll question of the day, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Do more and get more in a 2025 Armin Chevrolet Trailblazer, starting at only $23,995. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. First poll question, as we were just talking to Joe Banner about there on Goddard and Becton, what's your prediction of what happens with Goddard and Becton for the 2025 Eagles? Choice A, they both stay. Choice B, only Goddard. Choice C, only Becton. And D is neither on the Eagles. Unless, Ben, you're the people that say neither. Are you a neither or a neither?
Neither.
Me too.
I never know. I never know what it is.
But why the neither?
I don't understand neither.
I don't either.
Sometimes the neither just works.
I think maybe I've accidentally said neither.
It's like potato, potato.
But I think it's neither.
But it's not. It's potato. And it's neither.
And
it's not potato.
And it's not envelope.
I'm just telling you, people say it both ways, obviously.
Well, if someone tells me, you know,
you're the real pot kettle situation here comes from you.